Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you today as we open up your word that you will teach us by your Holy Spirit to hear your voice, to listen to you, and that our lives would be so empowered by you that we will be able to bring you something into eternity. For the way you've designed us and the way you formed us, that we would hear your call, listen to your call, and obey your call. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. Alive in the fire. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue this series because it's been a significant event for us. We've already established that there is no history in this particular building. In this geographic site, yes, but nobody's ever inhabited this building. Everything is brand new. Nobody's ever worshiped out of this carpet and these chairs and this platform and all this sort of thing. It's all brand new. In February, this building burned. This is our second Sunday gathering in this place. This is a place of the fire. You are the people of the fire. Everybody say, I am of the fire. You are built to hold fire. Matthew, the third chapter, verse 11, Jesus said, I will baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. Everybody raise your right hand real quick. Come on, get it up. Say, baptize me. That's what he came to do. In 1 Corinthians, he tells you, the third chapter, that you are God's building. This is a building, an environment that is conducive for worshipers to let God be God. Did you hear what I just said? It's an environment that where we come together where the gifts of the Spirit can operate, where there can be healing and miracles and tongues and interpretation, and kids are baptized in the Holy Ghost, and people are delivered from alcohol and cocaine, and demons flee. And depression is gone and all those kinds of things. And so, but this is a gathering place, but you are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3 says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then he goes on to say that you're a temple of ever-increasing glory. If you don't know, that's the reason angels are always singing, holy, 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 because you can never see enough of God. All of eternity, some of you think eternity in heaven is going to be boring. It's not going to be boring. It's going to be fulfillment on steroids. I mean, it's going to be things you don't even know how to ask for or how to dream for. It's going to be things you don't even know how to imagine for. You're going to see, you think God is good now, you're going to see more of his goodness and then more of his goodness. And because he's eternal, he's always been good, he'll always be good. And here's some good Arkansas vernacular, he just gets gooder. Amen. I hung around my dad too much yesterday. and so it's just good. And so I want to say to you that this is a house of burning hearts. The Church Alive is about you becoming alive in Jesus. We have established that we are going to be a house of burning hearts. Would you declare that with me right now? Because here's what we did last week. Some people say, well, we're going to dedicate a building. No, if we're God's building, last week we dedicated ourselves to God. And so let's declare it together that we're a house of burning hearts. Do it now. A house of burning hearts. You see, here's what I believe. I believe God's doing something big here. I believe God is doing something that can't be ignored and just simply cannot be missed. So Isaiah 43 says this, the first three verses. But now says the Lord. Everybody says, okay, Lord. You got to know when he's talking. It says, thus says the Lord, who created you? That's your first big faith receptive. Knowing that you are not an accident, nobody is illegitimate. There's no such thing, because I can prove to you today many scriptures where the Lord says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Amen. created you, formed you. Some of you say, well, I've been going through a lot of stuff and nobody understands. Everything you've been going through, everybody hear me, say, I'm listening. Everything you've been going through has been forming you. Some things you don't like put a dent in you, but God forms you. Everything has been forming you. He said, I've formed you. Fear not. No reason to be afraid. Fear not. Okay? I have redeemed you. Watch this. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Somebody just say, praise the Lord. That's good. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, sometimes the waters get high. They shall not overflow you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When you walk through the fire, see, this is even prophetic. When you walk through the fire, not run from the fire, but when you walk through the fire, I thought Ryan was going to preach. It's been a couple of weeks. He's ready. Did y'all notice that? He's ready. Are you up next week? You are now. Okay. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Oh, you need to hang on. I got something for you about that in just a minute. Nor shall the flame scorch you. Oh, when I was a kid, my grandparents used to have those gas furnaces, you know, that had the little deals in them. And, you go into the room, it would always go out. It wouldn't be left on. You'd have to get down there and light that. But, you know, if you never do that, always turn on whatever you're going to light it with, a match or whatever first, and then you turn the gas on. But I had no idea. I'm just a kid. I'm down there. Where's this thing at? Turn the gas on. Bam. And next thing I knew, I had no eyebrows. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. But listen. When God is with you, you don't even come out with scorched eyebrows. For I am the Lord your God. Somebody just say right now, I receive that. Two things I want to give you today. Are you ready for this? It's just right English. Here it is. Number one, God is in control. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you don't seem. But God is in control. Secondly, you're going to like me today because I'm really short today. Number one, God is in control. Number two, God, watch this, is able to deliver you. You know, I love these kid impression rooms and everything we're doing because everybody ought to bring your kids to church. I know today you've got so much to do. When I was a kid, we never asked if we were going to church or not. Saturday night, we got our Bible out. We got our offering out. We got our memory verse. We ironed our clothes. I mean, we got ready because there was no question in the morning we were going to go to church. And at an early age, I was impressed by faith. What you allow your children to be impressed with at an early age would take them through their lives. And, we always sing hymns. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Songbook, Melodies of Praise. We called it the Red Book, all right? And I know most of the numbers. I don't know this one. I mean, number 90 was my favorite, A New Name Written Down in Glory. There's a new name. Anyway, we'll stop there. Anyway, and there was another one, and we always came to that part too with a song leader. You know, he got up like this. He said, does anybody have a request today? Anybody go to church like that? And I loved it when somebody would request 183. He is able to deliver you. I love that song because they would have rounds. You guys know what I'm talking about, rounds? One people sing one part, one people sing another part. And they'd go, he is able to deliver you. Somebody, he is able to deliver you. You know, and that stuck in me, the dynamics of that. And I've come today, amen, I could have stayed at home and just fed the horses, but I came today to tell you God is in control, and number two, he is able to deliver you. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, I know in whom I have believed, my God is able. Come on, everybody, one more time, like you're giving an oath, lift up your right hand. Come on, lift it real quick, say, I know in whom I have believed. Now give him a hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Big hallelujah. Our adversary, the devil, Your adversary is not flesh and blood. So in other words, your adversary is not a subculture group. It's not a political party. I'm just going to hit this stuff and go on. I'm not going to stay at it. Your adversary is not even your relatives. Sorry about that tension point. It just kind of came up there. Your adversary is still the devil. And a newsflash to the devil. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Now remember, God forms you. How many tracking with me? Say yes. Now remember, God formed you. The enemy always forms something reactionary to God. But no weapon he forms shall prosper. Because what God has formed is greater than what the enemy has formed. The devil ought to know fire won't work. He tried it with the three Hebrew boys Ryan mentioned. Fire just simply won't work. In fact, he's going to be thrown into fire. I think if you get mess with fire, you get burned. Right? And the scripture says this in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On February the 16th, this is what the church looked like at about 3:30 a.m. in the morning. As someone stood out in the parking lot, and there's a picture of the church. Come on, fellas, quick, quick, quick. There we are. That's what the church looked like from the parking lot. Well, I was standing down to the left over here, and I was standing on that. And I didn't realize I was standing on that until the fire chief came over there to me, and he said, "Preacher, we've got about 2 minutes to save this building because it's really not the fire." Now watch this. Your building is combustible. Now look, friends, he's prophetic and doesn't even know it. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The building is so large and it's so big in there." And he says, "All the smoke just kind of gathers in there." And actually, he said, "Smoke is more combustible than any other chemical that's in the place." And I didn't know that. And I said, "Would you call that holy smoke?" He said, "Preacher, something's going on in there." And he said, I didn't realize it, but I looked down and I realized I was standing on the rock. Sometimes you're not going to realize in the middle of, can I preach a little bit? It still is Sunday, all right? Can I just do this a little bit? Because I didn't realize I was on the rock. Sometimes, I'm going to do this now, sometimes I'm in a situation and I can't see my way out of my situation. I can't feel my way. I don't know what's going to happen. And I look down and I'm standing on the rock that is higher than I." Somebody say, "Lead me to the rock." Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, "Lead me to the rock." When you're in court, you might need a rock. When you're at the doctor's office, you might need a rock. Next morning, paper comes out. Remember, God forms, the enemy forms. God's in control. He's able to deliver. And what God forms is greater than what the enemy forms, because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Next morning on February 17th, maybe you can see this. The headlines are this: no injuries in church fire. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No harm, no foul. Devil, you missed with the wrong place. The gates of hell shall not prevail. We'll just build it back bigger and better than ever. And this place will hold more fire than the last place held. If you're going to praise him, go ahead and praise him. Come on. Now the reason I gave a little part of David Wilkerson's message earlier about listening and hearing from God and the neglect and the ignore that people give to God. God is the most powerful voice in the universe, but probably one of the least heard. And not because he's not speaking. Do you all know what I mean by selective hearing? All the husbands say yes. All the wives ought to be saying, come on, come on. When I was standing on that rock, I didn't have a super spiritual experience. But I felt the Lord just a calming hand. And I heard a voice deep inside of me. I didn't hear an audible voice. But deep inside of me just saying, I've got this. I wasn't worried about one thing. A lot of you know me well. All the details. I wasn't worried one thing because I was in the place of the rock. And just hearing God say, I've got this. It's kind of like Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 29. You're going to like this. Acts 4:29. It says, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now, how many of you are in a situation that are threatening? Just say yes. Come on, you can admit it. It says, now, Lord, look upon their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness, a transformation is going to happen here today. The enemy will no longer move on your life with a spirit of timidness and fear. From this moment, you're going to leave here a bold child of God. You're going to move in authority. He says, with all boldness, that they may speak your word. Now watch this. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, say all there. It was not a denominational check. They were just all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. May I declare over you and your house right now, you will leave from this place today speaking the word of God with boldness, and the word of God will not return void. The same voice you can hear today is the same voice that Peter heard that said, get out of the boat and walk on the water. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, many of you in your situations are going to be like Peter in the boat in the storm. You're not going to see the voice, but you're going to hear the voice. I know that you are willing to take directions even though you don't see the one speaking. Because Siri tells you everywhere to go. Have you ever seen her? Do you know what she looks like? I mean, you accidentally hit your phone and she says, what can I help you with? Nothing. Shut up. And then she'll say, why are you talking to me like that? Oh, serious. She did it one time. She's like, why are you speaking to me like that? I'm like, I don't know. But you're willing to listen to a voice to tell you which highway to take, and you don't know who's talking. Peter was willing by faith. Why did he walk on the water? Because he moved on faith, on the word of God. If you move on faith on the word of God, you'll do things that are impossible in the natural, but are possible in the supernatural. He got out of the boat, and he walked on the water toward the voice that he could not see. They had seen Jesus. They knew what Jesus looked like. The Bible says they were afraid because they thought it was a ghost. That means they couldn't see very clear. I'm going to tell you, some of you are going to be in a situation you can't see your way out. You can't see past the front of your vehicle. But if you'll listen to the voice of God, hallelujah, he'll lead you in ways that seem to be no way, because we walk by faith and not sight. How many would agree with me right now? You got some situations that do not look very good. I got both hands up and a leg. How's that? But you hear the sound of abundance. You only see a cloud the size of a man's hand, but you know there's something going on because it's moving inside of you that's bigger than what you've ever thought or imagined, because the Holy Ghost, by the word of God, is doing something brand new in your life. I'm sorry I got too rowdy for some of you. He says in Isaiah 43, I'll call you by name. When you're in the middle of a storm, if you're the one supposed to get out of the boat, you need him to call your name. Today, some of you are going to hear the very same voice that Mary heard when she was in the garden and she thought everything was over and everything was dead. And he called her by name and just said, Mary. Everything was changed. When you think it's over, Jesus shows up 4 days after Lazarus has been embalmed. And this time his blood flows in him. And when he calls him by name, Lazarus, Patty, be healed. Come on, how many with me on this? Look at your situation. Call his name. And watch the supernatural take place. What happens when resurrection and life comes on a dead scene? John, isolated on an island, he heard a voice, a sound of trumpet behind him. I'll say it this way to you and we'll stop. You are a created spirit. I know some of you think you're certain, but you are a created spirit. God is a spirit. Come on, you want a little theology? God is a spirit. That's the reason you don't worship him, because your flesh feels a certain way. You worship him because your spirit is one in him. I mean, I watched last night yesterday they got down that reception. You know, and they start playing a song. There's my dad. I said, man, I'm glad he doesn't drink. I guarantee you his sophisticated flesh didn't tell him to do that. There was something in his spirit said, I don't care about anything else anymore. There comes a moment in your spirit when you just got to let it go. The best way to fight depression is to worship God. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're going to get happiness from a new car for about 28 days. And then they send you a payment book. Your created spirit. Now watch this. You were created to hear the voice of God. I want to bring this together for you. So the first thing you want to do, so what do I do, preacher? How does this work? Number one, you want to allow the Holy Spirit to help you. He's your helper. He's your teacher. He is not just a speaking in tongues option. He is your empowerment on earth to defeat the devil. You want your children to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so they can say no with authority. Amen. So they're not swayed by every little thing. They know how to stand on the rock when they're tested. Because your kids are being tested earlier than what you were tested. Created to hear the voice of God. So let the Holy Spirit help you. What should he help you do? The first thing is to help you develop faith ears. Yesterday on the way to the wedding, my dad has these almost invisible hearing aids. And my mom says, she's in the back seat, and she says, Doyle, do you have your hearing aids on? I see them, so I know he does. He just looks straight ahead. She says, Doyle. He just sticks straight ahead. And she taps him on the shoulder, Doyle. Do you have your hearing? Yes, I heard you the first time. You got to develop faith ears. How many want to hear God? Come on, come on, admit you want to hear God. Admit it. Come on, admit it. You've heard the devil enough. How many want to hear God? And one more time. Yeah. Well, you got to develop faith ears. I remember when I was on a safari in Africa, in this tent, you know, it's dark out there, and I heard this roar all night. And I went to Apollo. He was my guide. I said, "Apollo, what was that I heard last night?" He said, "That was a lion." I said, "Why is he making that noise?" He said, "They're in mating season." He said, "But it's really over right now. And they mate for 21 days. They don't eat for 21 days. And then they're hungry." I said, "So why is he moaning like that?" He says, "He's hungry." I said, "Apollo, that's not good." I said, "He sounded really close." He said, "Well, you got to learn the sound of Zimba." He said, "He's probably 5 to 10 miles off. But the frequency of that moan, you can hear him." I said, "It kept me up all night long." You've got to learn to hear the voice of God in the middle of all your stuff. Now, may I inform you, you're not the only person that has stuff. If you're breathing, you've got stuff going on. But everybody can hear God. Sometimes he's a big voice. Sometimes he's a handwriting on the wall. Sometimes it's obvious when you're at the end of where you can't go anywhere and he parts the water. It's obvious you need to go. I mean, I don't see anywhere in Scripture when it says they came to the Red Sea, they asked for a confirmation. "We need the mouth out of two or three. Is this just the way to go?" "Yeah, come on, you idiots, let's go." Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes you don't see it real clear, but you hear it clear. Why do you do that? Because you're created spirit, created to hear the voice of God. So number one, you develop faith ears. Number two, you develop a faith voice. Now, why do I say that? Because you're going to speak what you hear. I love it when Patty's aunt and uncle visit from Miami, Dr. Joel and Carol Kebhart, and they're from Miami, and she's kind of got that New York accent just a little bit there. And they come down here, and first thing we say, "How y'all doing?" I'm sure they get a kick out of that. All of us, and "Y'all okay?" Accents. You ever met anybody from Louisiana? How many here from Louisiana? Somebody just say something. I mean, yeah. "How y'all doing down there? Y'all everybody okay?" That's okay. I mean, and people up north talk so fast, you can't understand what they say. You know? Accents. You're going to say what you hear. That's the reason your kids, some of the things they say, they expose what's going on in the house. Not too long ago, over in the gym, I'm greeting somebody, greeting a kid. He's going to the kids' room. He said, "Preacher, can you," he actually called me, "Pastor, can you pray for my mom and dad? They're fighting this morning." Goes on. Yeah, you're here this morning, all right? But I'm holding back, all right? Mom and dad worked in. "Good morning, Pastor." Serious? That morning's message was on forgiveness. It was great. Develop an ear to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Number two, get a faith voice, because you're going to speak what you hear. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then the third thing you need to do is, you've got faith ears, now you've got a faith voice. Let that faith voice give out faith words. What you hear, declare it. I mean, like Acts 4, they said, "Now give us boldness to speak it." Amen. I mean, it's like the three Hebrew boys. They had a faith ear. They got some faith language. Then they said, they declared it, "I'm not going to bow." Moses got a faith ear and he got a faith voice. Then he said with some faith words, "Let my people go." Right? I love this one. This is a great, and we'll stop here and let you go get your chicken before all the Baptists get there. Isn't it great getting there before they do? It's great, you know? It's great. Yeah. This is David. I mean, this is a guy, he hears faith ears and he's got this faith voice and hears his faith words in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, when he's getting ready to take on Goliath. He says, David says to the Philistine, "You come to me," you got to say it with a little grit in your teeth, all right? "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord." Does anybody want to do that today to sickness and fear and depression, economic situations? I like this. "I come to you in the name of the Lord," he said, "of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Devil, you burned the wrong building. Watch this. This day. Somebody say this day.
This day.
Come on, say today.
Today.
I mean, this moment, like Carol said, we're going to pray now and the eye is going to be healed today. My expectation is heightened. And he goes on to say, "This day the Lord would deliver you into my hand." Oh, I love this. He's prophesying. He didn't know he was going to cut his, he didn't have a strategy like, "I'm going to cut your head off and then I'm going to carry your head." But a little bit later, in his hand, because he prophesied, because he had a faith hearing in his spirit was saying something his mind had not intellectualized, processed yet. Listen, a lot of you say things you haven't processed in the natural anyway. I've said things for years. Everybody has a mouth and a mind. Everybody living has a mouth and a mind. It doesn't mean they both work at the same time. And so if you're willing to do that in the natural, then by faith, why not allow the Holy Spirit to say something through you you didn't believe on saying, but he empowered you, and it has power in it. And he goes on to tell him, he says, "I'm going to take," and then he says, "I'm going to strike you." He tells him, "Now here's what I'm going to do to you." And he's doing this by the Holy Ghost, all right? "I'm going to strike you. I'm going to take your head from you. And this day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistines, the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth." I mean, in other words, they're going to have a heyday on him. "All the earth, they may know that there's a God in Israel." Then he says, verse 47, "Then all this assembly shall know the Lord does not save with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Come on, get your hand up right now. Come on, get up right quick. Say, "The battle is the Lord's." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I kept hearing over and over in all this process, the Lord saying, "I've got this. The battle's the Lord. The Lord's got you." How many feel the Lord's got your family right now? How many feel like the Lord's got your economic situation right now? Amen. The price of gold does not affect the streets in heaven. God's forming for you. The devil's formation is a liar. Hear what God is saying to you. So today there's going to be a transformation, every one of you. You were created to do all this. You were created to experience all of his love and all of his power. Today you're going to be a child of God, no longer a slave of fear. The interesting thing about children are this. Childlike faith. The Lord says if you want to enter the kingdom, you've got to do this with childlike faith. I thought about that. You know, what is childlike faith? Childlike faith is the absence of educational processing. Childlike faith is the absence of experience processing. A child, when he goes to do something, doesn't process it by their education or doesn't process it by their experience. In fact, when a child does something, their thought, their word, and their action are simultaneous. How many know what I'm talking about? They don't think about it. They just do it. Childlike faith is absence. Now watch this, and we're going to pray. Is absence of an opinion check. I remember one occasion. I don't know, I might have been about 5 years old. I didn't watch cartoons, as I told a group today. We barely had a TV. I didn't watch all these things. If I watched anything, it was Gunsmoke. Come on, can I get a witness out there, somebody? Black and white, no remote. Your remote was your thumb. Had a big porch. My mom was cleaning those rugs. You guys still shake rugs? One, two. You know what I'm talking about? You take a rug, you actually pick it up. You go outside and you shake it. Say yes if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
All the men that do that, say yes. Chickens. This rug was huge. My mom would put this rug on the banister of that great big porch, concrete porch, a long ways down. At least when you're 4 or 5 years old, it's a long ways down. Then she'd take a broom. Y'all don't want to talk about beating the dirt devil? Bam, dust flying. Bam, dust flying. She's in the house working, and, you know, we're all about horses and rodeos. So I would get a run at it, and I would get on that rug, and whoa, 8 seconds. I'd just taken a bath. We didn't take showers back then. You took a bath. You know what I'm talking about? When you came out, your mama looked behind your ears. And if they weren't clean, spit shine. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Clean the back. Take the skin right off the back of your ear. You're clean. I had my bath, had my clean clothes on. And I took a little too far than I should have. And the rug started going. I didn't think about it. No experience, no education. I didn't ask anybody, should I be doing this? There was no opinion check. I grabbed a hold of the top of the rug. Bad mistake. Bam, down in the shrub and the dirt. My mom come down there with that broom. Now, y'all know my mom was a sweet, sophisticated lady. I knew her in her old life. She came down there with that broom, cleaned up that rug, and evidently I had some dirt on the back of me too. And she beat the devil out of the rug and me. I'm going to challenge you today to hear the voice of God and act on it. I love people when they come to me. Pastor, I've heard from God. I want to tell it to you and ask you what you think. I'm kind, I'm courteous. But if you've heard from God, who cares what I think? Who cares what anybody thinks? Peter didn't say, fellas, you think I ought to go out there and check out this ghost that's telling me to come? He knew the voice. Do you know God's voice? God's voice today wants to redeem you, heal you, deliver you, free you. Do something in you that nobody else can do. I'm ready to hear the voice of God. How many are ready right now? Heavenly Father, I believe this very moment that you're moving something in us that the enemy doesn't want to be moved. Father, you're just doing something right now that your voice is going to be greater than any other voice we've heard. The voice of confusion will be eliminated. The voices of fear will be no more. The voices of our past no longer dictate to us our future. Right now, you're doing something we desperately need to do. We want to hear you. We want to hear you call our name. Today, we give our lives to you. Every part of us. Open us up to hear you in ways we've never known before. In the name of Jesus. Right now, without hesitation, if you'd say, Pastor, I need to hear voice, God's voice like I've never heard it before. Stand up right now. Right now. Just stand right now. I need to hear God's voice like I've never heard it before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, would you do something with me all over this room, whether you're standing or whether you're seated? Would you just lift your hand to him right now and reach out to him and say, God, I thank you that today this moment is a transforming moment. Just like when Carol prayed over her daughter, it's not going to be a process a little bit later, but right now you're doing this. For every marriage, Father, I believe that right now you're touching them. For every home environment, every household, you're touching them right now. And I declare right now, we are no longer going to be a people of fear. We're no longer going to be a people that are operating under a cloud of darkness. But your love, your light, and your power, and your presence are coming to everyone. in the name of Jesus. They're going to begin to sing this song. It says, I'm no longer a child of fear. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, because that's bondage. You've got time. It's still, well, look at there. It's 10 minutes before 11. I mean, you've got plenty of time. And we did this on purpose so you can come to the altar. You've got time right now to, you and your husband or wife or your family, to come down here and say, today needs to be a day of commitment. We need to open up so God can speak directly to us. You might want to pray a little while, and then you might want to go get your children and come back in here with them and spend some time in prayer. You've got time to do that today. For those of you who'd say, first of all, Pastor, I'm in a situation that's so dark, I can't see anything, but I desperately need to hear from God. Maybe you're giving your life back to Jesus. Maybe you're giving your life to Jesus. You've never done that before. You heard the message from David Wilkerson earlier. It's not too late to start over right now. This building is a do-over. It's not too late to start right now. If you want me to pray with you and believe God with you for anything, any situations we've named today, if you'll just come and stand right here close to the front to me, I'm just going to stand right down here. You say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me directly. I'm going to stand right here. The altars are going to be open for everybody to come and pray. You've got time. Don't just rush out. You've got time to spend time in prayer. Do that. Believe God. And I believe you're going to have the best week you've ever had. I believe you're going to have the next best few months you've ever had. Amen. I believe your marriage is going to get better. I believe your home's going to get better. I believe your finances are going to get better. Do you believe that? Let's thank God right now for what he's going to do. Can we do that? Come on. Everybody just thank God for what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Come on, as they start singing it right now, if you want me to pray for you, you come right now. And the rest of you that you need to just to pray, you come and you pray all over. God bless you. Please turn this off. Thank you.
Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. Yes, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child. So I can walk around.